Good morning. For those whom I've not had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Bill Knutson. I have been the guest chaplain out at the Chapel of the Transfiguration, and it is my distinct privilege to be with you here in town today. I come to you from Ojai, California, and there's a strong Jackson-Ojai connection, some of it through the Thatcher School and Jack Highland, and I've heard a lot of stories about the connections, and it's been tremendous to get to know you and be part of this community. And we take back, my wife and I, fond memories of our time with you this last month and hope to see you again soon. And if you're ever in Ojai, come on by St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, say hi. Now, this passage today has some of the most familiar, our gospel passage has some of the most familiar words in Scripture and the Christian liturgy. I think most of you have committed these words of the Lord's Prayer as set forth in the Book of Common Prayer to memory. I used to be a hospice chaplain. I spent a lot of time working in memory care units, and at that level of where memory fades and existence is reduced to the essentials, often as I conducted services and did liturgy, the one part that would come out loud and clear was this, the Lord's Prayer. However, we heard it in a rather unique form today. We've been using the translation, the paraphrase actually, called The Message this summer, and this rather startling rendering of a very familiar prayer has kicked me into some new ways of understanding a very old prayer. But let's set a little context first. First century Palestine was a land of political and spiritual unrest and ferment. People saw there was an occupying force. The political situation was faction against faction. Not a lot of listening, but a lot of shouting at each other. Does this sound familiar in any way? And with that ferment came the arrival of spiritual teachers, ones who tried to provide a context, who had a way of approaching the divine and saying, here is how you live to be in conscious contact with God. And one of the duties of these teachers would be to teach their disciples how to pray. This is what Jesus' disciples came and said. Teach us to pray, just like John did, his disciples. Give us the technique. Clue us into what works. And Jesus, a responsible rabbi, a good teacher, didn't start out with get your theology straight, get your life together, join the right church, the Episcopal Church. He said, here's what you do. Enter into God's presence with familiar, intimate terms. The term in the original language is Abba. It's our Father, we render it, but it's more like Daddy. Hey, Daddy. Reveal who you are. Set the world right. So it begins with presence, with God. Tuning into the divine, it begins with rooting ourselves in that divine presence. Prayer is not about us. We pray not to impress God or to make a case for ourselves, but to realign and to remember who God is and who we are. And we are not orphans. We're not strangers. We are not customers, but children. Offspring of the divine, beloved children. We always center ourselves in all our prayers as God's own beloved, in whom God is well pleased and takes infinite delight. As we've aligned that, we ask that the world be set right. Now, we're not just wishing for change out there. We're inviting change in here. The change in the world, the dream of God to bring all creation into reconciliation with God and each other in Christ, it begins in and through us, not through our power, but through our openness, our attentiveness, our alignment with God's ongoing transformative work in this world and the world to come. Then we have the phrase, keep us alive with three square meals. Jesus brings it down to earth. God cares about the body. This body, the one you're in, that gets hungry, tired, and as I age, does increasingly unpredictable things that surprise me on a daily basis. This body is the site of salvation. This body is the one that the Holy One of God chose to inhabit, to reveal God's presence in the world. And as we pray for this daily provision, we're not just praying for ourselves. We're praying with and for those whose table is empty. Those who live each day wondering if bread will come, whether they be in Gaza, South Sudan, or living in their car one block over. The inimitable Archbishop Desmond Tutu expressed it so well when he said, "For the hungry person, the good news is bread." In the traditional language, it's give us this day our daily bread. Not give me my daily bread. The need arises in community, and the need is met in and through community. And Jesus says, keep us forgiven with you in forgiving others. Forgiveness is where our deepest wounds and our greatest healing meet. It's not an easy thing. It's not a cheap thing. It's not a glib thing. But in this line, what Jesus is teaching us is that prayer is the place from which grace flows. Not just into us, but through us and out into our world. Now, this is not about condoning harm or excusing injustice, but it is about releasing what poisons us. It's about the daily difficult work of choosing mercy. Because that's what God keeps choosing for us. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Now, this is about protection, about security, not from hardship, but from despair, from becoming numb, from giving up on love. There's a lot in the world, forces subtle and strong that draw us away from the good, that obscure the divine image in ourselves and in others. And so we ask for help. Not necessarily because we're weak, although I certainly have my days. We ask for help because we're wise enough, discerning enough to know we need it. And there you have it. That's how you pray. That could have been the end. Jesus could have stopped right there and just gave them the form, the what. But like any good teacher, he unpacks it. He takes us deeper. He gives us the how, and underlying that, the why. And he does it with these strange little stories called parables. First, the one about the guy who bangs on his friend's door at midnight for a loaf of bread. Then the one about the parent who knows how to give a good gift, not a snake, not a scorpion, to their hungry child. At first, these may sound like contrasts. Even you know how to give a good gift. How much more will God? But it's a little more than that. Jesus is reminding us that prayer works when it is rooted in relationship. Here's the key. Ask, seek, knock. In the original Greek of the passage, these are present, continuous, ongoing actions. Not one and done, but keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Prayer, Jesus seems to say, is not a transaction. It's not a code to crack. It's not putting the right spiritual coins into the divine vending machine, pulling the knob and receiving the candy bar of abundance. It's a relationship. It's an ongoing connection. It's about persistence. Yes, but not to change a stubborn God's mind. Did you catch the humor in that little passage from Genesis where Abraham is bargaining with God? I hope you did. I heard some of you chuckling. This is banter. This is back and forth. This is friends in relationship. Going back and forth. And the stakes are high in seriousness. But there's almost a playful love in the engagement Abraham has with Almighty God. So prayer is not where we tiptoe around God. We ask. We seek. We knock. It's where we speak and listen, wrestle, maybe even bargain a little. And stay. It's where we're rooted. Paul in Colossians reminds us, you don't need to chase spiritual tricks or spiritual flash. You've already been given Christ. You are rooted in Christ. prayer is how we grow those roots deeper. It's how we return again and again to the truth that we are loved in all our imperfection, in all our stubbornness, in all our failings, but also in all our grace, all our beauty, all our yearning for something higher than ourselves. We are loved. God hears us. God loves us and hears us. And nothing, not sin, not shame, not even death can separate us from that love. So maybe this week you pray like Abraham, persistent, bold, unafraid. Or maybe you pray like that friend at midnight, awkward, urgent, hungry. Or maybe you just whisper in the deepest part of your heart, into the divine presence, the words that Jesus gave. Reveal who you are. Set the world right. Give us today what we need. Forgive us and help us to forgive. Lead us. Deliver us. Amen.